From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music and artists of Kentucky. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents a concert performance with the Darren Zancan Band. Coming up on Red Barn Radio. Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. We'd like to thank Sims Pizzeria and Soda Fountain for supplying food each week for our musical guests and volunteers. Chef Greg Scott and Sims Pizzeria and Ice Cream Parlor is located just minutes from Lexington in historic Wilmore, Kentucky. For more information, see Sims Pizzeria and Soda Fountain on Facebook. the Bourbon Barrel Guitar Company and their master craftsman Mike Menkel, who creates amazing artistic and functionally superior electric guitars from reclaimed bourbon barrels. Mike's on Facebook and also on the web at bourbonbarrelguitar.com. The Twisted Cork, Lexington's only drive-through full-service liquor store and bar. They feature craft beer, wine, and all your favorites. The Twisted Cork has live music Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday nights and hosts the Red Barn Radio Open Mic every Sunday evening, located at Partner Place just off Clay's Mill Road. For more information, they're on the web at twistedcorklex.com. Room 17 Productions, a nonprofit organization telling the story of Professor Emeritus Sarah Holroyd and promoting music education through oral history, preservation, and live performance. For more information, Room 17 Productions is on the web at room17productions.com. The rest is history. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is Red Barn Radio's guest accommodation partner, providing hotel accommodations for our musical guests. Located in the heart of bluegrass, horse, and bourbon country, the Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is the ideal choice for your next visit to Lexington, Kentucky.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Red Barn Radio. I'm Renee Collins, and along with Brad Becker, we are here to welcome you to Red Barn Radio's 591st live concert performance, now in our 16th broadcast season. Tonight, we are pleased to present a program of great live music with the Darren Zancan Band. The band is Darren Zancan on vocals, guitar, and keys, Ben Fabert on drums, percussion, and backup vocals, Perry Ritter, guitar, and Billy Thomas, bass. Please welcome the Darren Zancan Band to the Red Barn stage.
Thank you.
Darren Zane Candy.
Renee and I always enjoy the music. These songs are just flying. They sound great. Just a really good, good dancing sound.
Thank you. We just wrote them today, so.
Yeah. You were raised in a musical home, Darren. Where was that?
Lowell, Indiana. Corn.
Lowell, Indiana.
Yeah, you just go up 65 for about 95 hours. Before you hit Chicago, you hit Lowell.
That's the way it feels when you drive through cornfields.
And that's what it feels when you're driving 65.
Yeah.
Forever.
What kind of a town is Lowell?
It's a small town. Yeah. Everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows everybody's business. Uh-huh. So you do something right, everyone knows, and if you do something wrong, everybody knows. So it's one of those just kind of small town drive through route on Route 2, and if you drive through Route 2 long enough, you leave Lowell. So Lowell's kind of like a hub between 65 and another interstate. So it's just kind of wedged between, like a sandwich between these interstates. And
so people farming up there?
Yeah, lots of farming.
For the most part. How about your family?
I didn't farm. I lived on a golf course.
No, what do you mean you grew up on a golf course?
I literally grew up on a golf course.
Really?
So my neighborhood was on a golf course.
Ah.
So we lived like north of Lowell, like unincorporated, but it was literally a golf course.
Huh.
So I grew up as a golfer.
Yeah, tell me about the music in the house.
So my dad played guitar pretty much his whole life, but my dad was in a, well, I don't know if I could say the full name of the band, but let's just say they were Dr. Mustache and the Perverted Mothers. So there you go. That was the name of the band. They actually played a battle of the bands with Styx at Bradley.
Oh, come on.
At Bradley University. My dad went to Bradley University. And so they played a battle of the bands, and my dad's band got first.
And was your dad's band a Styx-type band? Were they like a...
Yeah, they were like a rock band.
70s
rock. Yeah, 70s rock band. So they won, and Styx got second.
Oh, come on.
And then
on.
Styx was like, hey, you guys want to tour with us? And my dad's band was like, nah, we'll just stay home and eat pizza and whatever. I was like, why didn't you do that? That's crazy. Like, you could have been made. Well, then fast forward, I don't know, 30-some years later, and we recorded our first album with Styx producer, so who just passed away 2 years ago from pancreatic cancer. But it was really neat because actually Ben installed doors and windows on his house, found out he was a producer, found out he was Styx's producer. And then I was like, this is just kind of like a thing that's supposed to happen. And we reached out to him, and then we recorded our album with him. And he sang on the album.
Oh,
so it was like really like, it was just a weird circle that. And then there was one moment where we were recording a song, and Gary, the producer, was sitting in front of me, and he had like a tear roll down his eye. And I was like, and he was listening to the song I wrote for my dad. And then he just turned around, and he gave me a fist bump, and he goes, your dad would be proud. And that was like one of those musical like moments where you feel like you kind of made something.
Yeah.
When somebody kind of recognizes that and gets emotional. So that was something I'll always share. That kind of moment with him was really cool.
Huh.
It's like a firefly in the middle of July, and you wanna see the glow. So you look at me, think it's destiny, but you start to walk away. Do you notice me? Do you think it's real? Need to wrap my head around this light. Barely breathe, and it's just you and me, and I'm so holding back the tears. No, do you notice me? Do you think it's real? Need to wrap my head and around and around and around this life. Do you notice me? Do you think it's real? Need to wrap my head and around and around and around.
think it's real. Need to wrap my head and around and around and around this life. Do you notice me? Do you think it's real? Need to wrap my head. Like a firefly in the middle of July, and you wanna see the glow.
He was a great guitarist. I mean, he's an okay voice. Where he shined was his hands. I mean, it's just he could glide over that guitar like
electric.
Yeah, and acoustic. He had a 12 string, he played a 6 string, he played electric. He was just a phenomenal guitarist. When he got sick, there was a time where his hands started to tremble, and he started to give up playing. And I was like, don't do that. You know, just it doesn't matter if you tremble or whatever. Just I want to hear you just keep playing that guitar.
And how even, old were you then?
So he passed away March 31st. So it would have been, I would have been 9 years ago. I'm 36, 27.
Huh.
It was quick. It was 9 months. It was pancreatic cancer stage 4. That was basically go into, you know, just kind of relax mode. Keep it as relaxed as possible. But as much as I could, I wanted him to play. I wanted him to experience those moments that you're not gonna, you know, get again.
Yeah, right.
So even in his last days when he would tremble, and he was like, ah, take the guitar, I can't do this anymore. This is too hard. I was like, no, just, you know, to me it was like, you know, magic.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't matter what he sounded like. To me it was dad playing guitar. His kid just sitting there, you know, didn't matter.
So were you playing at that point?
Yeah, actually, when he got sick, I wrote a song called Table for One before he passed away, and luckily I got to play it for him. So we did this big, like, it was a life, love, and I can't remember what it was called, but we basically did, like, a celebration of his life so that people wouldn't remember him when he was really sick. People would remember him when he was not sick, even though he was. And so he worked for Valspar Corporation, which was a big paint corporation. Mm, and he was in upper management. And he had people come from all over the country to this party. And then when he got really sick, we had people from like China and Malaysia and Canada writing letters. And when he passed away, there was letters like so tall. And a lot of them were the stick stories. You know, remember that time when you played with sticks? And you know.
Yeah.
And then there was one time where like girls ran up on stage and ripped his pants off. Literally, he ripped his pants off, and he was playing in his whitey tighties. He played the rest of the show in his whitey tighties. The stories that I would just hear, and that just inspired me to want to do it more. And I didn't really take it seriously until he got sick.
I was kind of under the impression that, you know, when your dad passed, that was a turning point in a lot of ways, as it's going to be. But musically speaking, that was a point when you said, you know, I really want to give my life to this. Well, are you giving your life to it?
Some days that I feel frustrated with it, and when I feel frustrated with it, something kind of turns around or something happens, or it's like I'll say I'm gonna give up, or I'll get really angry that it's not going where I wanted to go, and then I'll open my email and it's like, hey, you were just nominated for this award, or you wrote this song. And for example, the John Lennon Musical Contest, songwriting contest, I have applied to that every year, and I never get anywhere with it. And then we went to Nashville, we recorded 2 songs, one of which we'll play next, and said, you know what, I'm going to submit again. Why not? 8 times failure, why not 9? And then we totally forgot about it, and then got an email that said, you're a finalist, top 3 for John Lennon. And it was started, and there's all, like Fergie, all of these like 311, American authors, all of these really well-named, George Clinton, all these really well-named musicians will judge it. And so they're judging our song. And so we got honored for that, and then we were, you know, one of those moments where I was kind of like, what are we doing with music? What am I doing with music? It's nothing's happening. And then I open my email, and it's, you're a finalist for the Independent Music Awards Country Song of the Year. And I was like, Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, it's like a dad reminder. Like, you're stop being an idiot. Things happen. Just do what you're supposed to do and play the music and write the music. And, you know, it'll work itself out.
I don't know where the music goes. Maybe underneath that old stone road. These are lullabies and country soul. Sun is blinding in the room. And right into the night. I wanna hold on to you so tight. Out of fireflies, the sun is falling in the sky, and right into the night. I wanna hold on to you so tight. I wanna dance, I wanna sing, I wanna hold on to everything I know. I wanna feel, I wanna breathe, I wanna let that rush take. Out of fireflies, the sun's falling in the sky.
Made some other forays into performing, TV.
Are you bringing up my ballet background?
Well, I mean, if you don't mind talking about it.
I did 1 year of ballet. I'm not ashamed to talk about it.
No, tell you. Okay. Good. You should not be. Did you actually?
I did. I took about 15 to 16 years of dance.
Were you urged by someone to do that? Was that part
the dance
of your
or the ballet? Because there's two different stories there.
Well, I'm thinking more the ballet.
So I was a soccer player growing up. Uh-huh. So I played soccer my whole life. And I was a goalkeeper later on in my, third grade years, you know, later on in life. My coach was like, hey, to get more agile and get more nimble and get better balance and whatnot, go do ballet. And I was like, you know I'm going to get beat up. I'm in, fourth grade. No other guys are going to be in ballet. He's like, it doesn't matter.
Come
it's going to make you so much better as a goalkeeper. So I went and did ballet. I felt like the Karate Kid. Like, go out and wash my car. And it's going to teach you how to do karate. So I go out and I do ballet, and he wasn't lying. Like, it really helped. So I still know how to do a plié and a grand jeté and first position, second position. So yeah, I took jazz, tap, ballet, hip hop, modern dance, musical theater, and ballet.
It sounds like you were sort of developing yourself in a big way to do a number of different kinds of performance. Tell us about the TV piece and how that came to be.
Cool thing was in my household, so my sister was a musical theater actress. So when I was 3, she was in Jesus Christ Superstar. It was the first musical I'd ever seen.
Good one.
Very good one. And I learned the words to all the songs. There you go. Dad would take me. So I learned all the words to Jesus Christ Superstar. Then it was Godspell. Then it was just, right. You know, and then Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat became my favorite musical. I've done that twice, community theater. So that, along with dance and all of that, kind of came into play. And then I always wanted to act. I acted in high school. I did stage plays and musical theater. And then I got older and got an agent and did extra work, and you worked your way up. Mm-hmm. And then there was a I Want to Be a Soapstar live thing here in Lexington, and I won. Went to L.A., won there, and then I was on Days of Our Lives. And so it, you know, was out in L.A. It was wild. So it was, you know, I can't complain of some of the stuff I've gotten to do.
Yeah, great opportunities, and what a cool shaping of you as a performer, you know, to have all that experience.
Don't you know nothing at all. Don't you know nothing at all.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with the Darren Zankin Band, recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We'll be right back. This is Red Barn Radio.